Have you noticed a grin across my face? I'm just so blessed. I'm so blessed. I must confess to you, I've done my share of bawling my eyes out this week because I'm so blessed. My hope and my prayer is that you leave this place today with your socks blessed completely off. I want to introduce you to my friend, Greg Sipe. Greg and I have known about one another for quite a while now, before he was at Tomball. And through, y'all remember Gimpy, my brother-in-law? Sometimes I claim him, sometimes I don't. That's how I met Greg through that side of Rebecca's family. I noticed I said he's on Rebecca's family. But Greg is a great, great friend of mine. I have several great friends here at Dolan, and I have several older great friends, not that you're older, but that I've known you longer, from Tomball. Very special group of guys, very special friendship. And Greg and I, we've been around the bush and through the tunnel together on some things. And he's a great, great friend to me. And you be blessed as God speaks through him and to you. It's not Greg talking to you. You open your hearts. Listen to God because he has something for you this morning. Greg, you come and bless us. Thank you.
Mike said that just the way I wanted him to say it. I gave him a card of what I wanted, how he introduced me, and he did good. That was good. Could add a little bit more, but that's okay. Oh, did you? No, I had 3 pages of it, but that's the first.
Can you dismiss the children for us?
Oh, children, get out of here. No, I mean, you are dismissed. I'm sorry. We do. We love you. I'm sorry. We have children's church? Awesome. That's where I'm going to go. So, well, let me tell you something about Mike, okay? We had a Monday morning Bible study that we would have at Chick-fil-A every Monday morning at 6 o'clock. We've now moved it to Saturday at 7:30 because that's a little bit easier for us to get up and more men to arrive. But about 4 years ago, we started this Bible study, and we had about 6, 7, 8 men that were pretty faithful. And Mike was one of them because there was breakfast and food there. So we would meet at Chick-fil-A, and we would go over God's Word and what God wanted us to know. And that changed a lot of our lives through that, but also through our church went through experiencing God church-wide. And it was through that, I don't know if you've heard his testimony before, but it was through that God told him, quit running away from me and the ministry that I have for you. And it was neat how God, never underestimate Bible study, especially in the morning, at night, during the weekday. If there's a women's or a men's or a youth, whatever, attend that thing because God uses those avenues to speak to us. And if the pastor comes up and says, we're going to all be on the same page of Bible study on Sunday mornings for a while, then do it because you never know who God's going to speak to and touch. And through that, God called, he's already been called, but Mike listened, and he stopped running, and here he is today in God's ministry. So what you have here, we have witnessed the beginning stages and the slapping of the face and taking him down and wrestling and get into the ministry. It's not that Mike was wild or anything like that or you know, but he was just ready and primed, and we're excited for him. We keep in touch with him and hearing good news about what's going on here at Dolan. This morning, on our shirts that we have that we work, and I noticed they're all washed and laid out on the table for us to begin tomorrow, but we have a work shirt that I always give our mission team every year. And when we come, we paint and we do all kinds of work in this, but what's cool is that at the beginning, they all look the same, but at the end of the week of our mission, they're all different because people paint with different colors and they put more paint on their shirt than the wall or vice versa, whatever. But when we leave here, it has its own personality, has its own touch to the shirt. And so that's why we do this. But this year, our youth, this is for you too, okay? I'm not going to preach anything you haven't heard. This is for all of us, but this is for our young people too. This is the message that's at the bottom of the shirt. But first off, it says MTD12. And this is the way I promote mission trips. It stands for Mission Trip Dolan 2012. Now, next year it'll be something else. We don't know. We know it's 13, and it's a mission trip, but we don't know what the letters are until God calls us. But that's what our shirts look like this year. And our whole church knows that MTD12 stands for where we are this week. But at the bottom of it, of the hand, the swirl, that's a whole another issue here. But it has what if to what is. What if to what is. And a lot of kids have seen that, and they've kind of looked at it and says, well, that's kind of cool, but maybe he'll tell us what that means. I'm going to do that this morning. But it's something for all of us. It's not just for Tomball. It's not just for the mission trip team. It's for each and every one. If you have two ears, one on each side, you have, and you're breathing, and you're, I was going to say hair, but that doesn't include everybody. But if you have that, and you're a human being, and you're breathing, then this message is for you. Okay? So listen up, and hopefully this will work. What if to what is? Now, the way this thing started is that we came here about, I think it was back in March, and started going through this facility here, and I kept telling Mike, I said, Mike, here's the deal. What is it that you need? Now, Christy and I have done this for years. We've gone to the mission trip site and asked the pastor, what is it that you need? And they wouldn't say anything. They were like, what can you do? What do you want to do? And we're like, dude, what is it that you need here at the church? We're here to do it. So we're having to pull it out of them. Mike, on the other hand, Mike, what do you need? He pulls out a list and says, come on, I got to show you. Here's what we need. So it made our job a whole lot easier. And so we're walking around and we're looking at a bunch of ifs in this church. And that's not just this church, all churches. I believe our church needs to be better and beautifuler than our own home. Right? Some of our homes look better than our church. It's got to be the other way around. And so we're coming here saying, okay, what is it you need? Okay, and Michael said, well, what if we, and Chris and I, what if we could do this? And the list kept piling up. And so before we got here, we had the if. And then so during the week, what we're doing is the is. So let me show you what both of these mean, okay? And I love this. It's right here. If, we're going to start with if, because that's the first thing. What if to what is? If says this, what could be? And see, as we're looking through this whole church, we're going, what could this be? What could this look like? How could this change? How could we paint this? How could we take out the old windows and put in some new ones? And it was just like, what could be? So that's the if. Now, the is this. From what could be to you are there. It has happened. Reality. It has come true. So the if starts it off. This could be the vision. This could be the dream. And we're thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. And then all of a sudden, when it takes place, you now have the is. So you need to think about that. Usually we read from this way down. I was taught that in school. But this morning, we got to go up. Because this process starts from the bottom, and it works its way up. Now, to help you out, I'm an illustrating person. I got to have it in my hand for me to understand. I've got this ladder, and this ladder is what we've been using. And I want to show you the process that this takes. And for your sake at the back and stuff, I'm going to start from up here. But basically, we start from a ladder from down here. Now, some of our youth have tried to hop to this level first off, and it doesn't work. So what we have is this step. We have another step, and we have the top step. But in between, what we have is this little space here. And what I like to look at, this space between each step is the if. Because when we start off on the ground. And we're looking at what if I take a step and go to this first step. The what if is that space. It's that time period. It's the process, it's the work that would take us to the next level. So if I'm standing here, I'm saying, what if I take a step and put my foot there? Okay, that's good. But as soon as I do, here's another is. What if I take my other foot and put it right there? Hey, that's pretty cool. Oh, I got another one here, though. All right, what if I take my other foot and go up to here? Hey, I found something else we can fix. No, I'm just joking. So as soon as I keep on doing, I go from what if to what is, and it's this ladder process. Now, let me share with you a little example of this. My daughter, Savannah, who's a sophomore in high school, who is a JV cheerleader, when she first started off in cheerleading back when she was in sixth grade, she hadn't had any training in tumbling or flips or back handsprings and tucks and stuff. For some reason, that's important in cheerleading. So they have to learn that. So as a sixth grader, she says, she came in, she goes, I want to try out for cheerleading. I'm going, oh, you're a dancer. Okay, all right, here we go. But in order to do that, she had to do this. She had to work up a process of going from ground level and work her way up in order to make the squat. So here's the first thing that she wanted to do. She wanted to do a back handspring, which back in my days, that was a back flip. All right? So what I thought, okay, we're going to learn how to do that. We went in the backyard and tied rope to her waist. She has rope burn still today, but we tied a rope to her waist, and Mom and I were holding it, and says, okay, let's try it. And she would go up, not over, but like, okay, that didn't work. Let's pull tighter, you know, and she's like getting more rope burn. And so she flips, and she goes up one time, and she just stays there, and we're holding her like, okay, this is something's not right here. So we're trying to help Savannah do her back handspring. And so finally, she gets it, and she does it over again. So we loosen the rope, and then we go back, and we do our hands right here. And we flip. And the next thing you know, she learns how to do a back handspring. I'm thinking, mission accomplished. Now we can go on with our life. I was thinking that right here is the back handspring. Savannah is down here. And I thought that if she'd learn it, then this is what she could do. Okay? But she comes up, she goes, now I need to learn the tuck. The tuck? What's a tuck? Dad, it's a back handspring without using your hands and putting it on the ground. Oh, great. Bring out the rope, you know? So here's what we do is that we practice it. So now that she was down here and she got the backward handspring down, this next level was the tuck. And I'm thinking, what are we doing here? Maybe the tuck's up here. But no, the tuck is here. And now that she's made JV cheerleading stuff, her next thing is to have a layout. And that is something that is totally not a backward handspring or a tuck. It's a whole nother level. And so because of that, I'm thinking, okay, she wanted to take this first step, the second step, for the layout up here. So she does the layout. You know what? You know what's up here? It's Baylor University to be a Baylor cheerleader. That's what she wants to be. This is not the handspring, the backward handspring. This is Baylor. She's taking these steps in order to make it to her goal. And if she stayed at the first one, and we said mission accomplished, backward handspring, we got it. She wouldn't make eighth grade cheerleading. She wouldn't have made freshman. She wouldn't have made JV. She wouldn't have made it to Baylor. But each step that she's learning in that cheer is going to get her all the way up to her goal. Does that make sense? Don't ever, ever settle for where you are. Don't settle for where you are. And we have this God moment where he says, you know what? This is where I want to be. Some disciples thought that. The transfiguration. They said, ho, let's get some tents and let's just camp out up here. This is awesome. But Jesus is like, no. There's something better than this. Don't ever settle. I'm not happy where I am. You're thinking, you're not? What's wrong with you? No, I mean, I love God and I've just incredible worship here this morning. The Spirit said, oh, this is great. And it'd be sad for me to say, hey, let's get some mattresses up here and get some sleeping bags. And let's just camp. I'm saying that because that's really what we're doing. But let's just stay here because this is awesome. But God's going, no. Don't settle for that. I've got something better for you. Now, let me show you a picture. Someone sent this in an email. This is back in 2010. But I just found it. This is so cool. This right here is a picture of a dam in Italy. It's called the I can't remember. I don't know how to speak Italish or whatever you call it. So, Italian. Yeah, that's it. I thought it was Italish. But all right, here we got this huge dam, and the dam from here to here is about 160 feet. That's what I've come to find out. But I don't know if you can see it or not. But you see these little spots here, okay? When I looked at that picture, I'm going, okay, that's really cool. I don't understand what this is all about. But go to the next slide. Let's see if we can zoom this in. You see these little spots right there? Can you see that from where you are, what that is? Let me see if I can help you out. Go to the next shot. They're goats. Look at that. I got one more shot for you. I zoomed in a little bit more. Look at this dude. Guys, this is almost a vertical wall on this dam, and it's 160 feet from the bottom to the top. And these goats will get up here and climb this wall. Isn't that incredible? Insane. But here's why they do it. They do it because there's moss on the side of this wall, and they like to go up there and eat the moss and lick it. Hello, Sonic. Just pull in, you know? But here's the other reason why they do this. They get way up there because they're protected from the predators. Now, this right here is a sign of what if to what is. One step at a time. What is the key to these goats to be able to crawl up this wall? And the key to that right there, no fear. I'm not afraid. I will trust in the Lord. Bring it on because I'm not afraid. And number two is a saying that my youth know what's, they know what's, they know exactly what I'm fixing to say. If you love it, you'll do it. If you don't, you won't. If you love it, you'll do it. If you don't, you won't. And that's why, and that's how those goats do that. Grab your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Our youth ministry has been going through this same passage of Scripture for the whole month of June, and they're going to go through it in July and in August in our Sunday morning Bible study. Sorry, guys. One more time. Because I told them this passage of Scripture, if you look at it, you can pull out about 50 sermons just out of this one passage. And that's what I love about God's Word. It just doesn't have one meaning. It does, central meaning. But it has all kinds of things that we all can relate to. Look at verse 22. We're going to read through 22 through verse 33. And this is a beautiful story right here. Jesus walking on the water. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch, this is around 3 a.m, of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Oh, here's a powerful verse in the Bible. And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind and was afraid, and he began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." It says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Oh, here's a good one. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So if you look at the beginning of this, disciples in a boat, in a storm, here comes Jesus walking on water, and now Peter, big mouth, says, "Hey, if that's really you, tell me to come on out." And he says, "Come." He comes out. What happens? Takes his eyes off of Jesus, looks at the storm, and he sinks. Jesus pulls him up. Now, I think that's pretty fascinating, that he pulls him up out of the water. Not only is Jesus walking on water, but if he's standing on water, and he reaches down and pulls a man, an adult man, out of the water while standing on water, puts him on water, and walks on water to the boat, that's cool. And then they get in the boat, and it says, "Wow, you are the Son of God." And they began to worship him. This whole process is basically what we're going to talk about with the ladder and with goats on a wall. But if you want to know exactly where this is Scripture, the what if to what is, take a look at verse, I believe it's 27. It says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it is you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said." But did you see that? Let me highlight it for you. The snap of the finger. "It is I." And here comes Peter. "Lord, if it is you." So Peter's already going, "Hey, if it is you, If you want me to walk on water, then tell me to come. There's the if and is. Peter realized that he's down here at the very bottom. He said, hey, if it is you, then tell me to come walk on water. And he said, come. So Peter did. But see, here's what's scary. Is Peter could have said, I walked on water. You don't stop there. Peter, don't settle for that. That's the beginning step. You got to work your way up. There's other things that I have planned for you, church. I mean, if Peter stopped there, would we have church today? I mean, I think the church was pretty well based in the foundation through how God used Peter for this. And here we are. Don't settle for where you are. And I love this. Take courage. It is I. We hear all the time, I am. But I love it when the Bible says, and when Jesus said, it is I. He declared the is before the if. And when he declared the is, then he said, well, if it is you, then tell me to come. And he said, come. And when he walked on water, boom. Reality, boom. There you are, standing on water. Because you asked for it, you said if, and the is has now taken place. Where in the world are you this morning? Not physically, but I'm talking spiritually. Where in your life this morning that you can pull a Peter and you can step out of the boat? Because you've said, what if? And he says, is. Where are you? There's got to be somewhere, something that's hindering us from climbing this ladder that God has for us. And you can't say, well, I can skip that and go up to here. It's not that easy. I mean, I can't do it. You can't do it either. It's one step at a time. So as I'm going to give us 4 points right here, real quick, 4 points, you be thinking of where you are and how this can speak to you this morning. Let's look at these points right here. Point number one, it's not the if that makes us move up, but it's the is that takes us to the next level. Don't sit there in your pew and just come up with all of these ifs, because you're not going to go anywhere. We had a saying at Baylor when I was in the Baylor band, when the opposing quarterback would get sacked, and we'd say, woo, all dressed up and nowhere to go. That happened a lot. Not on us, but on them. Now, the past 10 years, it's been on us, but we're turning that around. But that's basically what we're talking about. It's not the if that moves us up, it's the is. So if you are sitting here going, if, you know, like that, hey, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You're all dressed up and nowhere to go. Because it's the is that takes us to the next level. Let's look at number two. It does not stop at the is. Another if is there waiting. Just because you accomplish it and you go to that one level, you go, oh, I did it. My life is all set. What is this? Oh, it's another if. That's right. Now let's go to that one. Oh, I accomplished two of them. 2 out of 2. That's enough for me. Oh, great. Another if. Because God continues, wants to take us to the next level. You know, if God is never the same, okay? If he's never the same, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, okay? He's the same. But also it says that God's doing a new thing. That's crazy. That's cool. I mean, God's grace and love is the same. You can't add anything to it to make it better. You can't take anything away from it to make it better. It's the same. But God's doing a new thing with his love and his grace. And he wants to take you up the ladder. Don't settle for where you are. You know, I look at this and I'm thinking, it does not stop at the is, because we use these ladders to paint. And I hear we don't have enough ladders this week, but we're making do. We got kids on shoulders, and we got cheerleaders making that pyramid and stuff, and we're painting everything. But here's the deal, is that if a kid comes in, he says, hey, I need a ladder. All right, what do you need? I need to reach that. Okay. And so all of a sudden, you just stop right here, and you still can't reach it, and says, well, I need another ladder. No, it's there. Keep climbing. Keep climbing and use what God has given you. Number three, let's move on. Number three, the more you is, I don't know if that's good English or not, the more you is, the more balance you will need. Do you notice a while ago when I was up here at the very top? Not only did the ladder get more narrow, but as I got up to the top, I needed more balance. I needed to be careful. Hey, I can do a lot of things up here. Ya-da-da-da-da-da. I better watch out. And then I get up higher. Whoa. See? I need... Case proven right there. Yeah. See, when I get up here, I need a lot more balance. So what is it about a balanced life that you need? Why is that important? The more you climb up, the more balance that you need. Get rid of things that don't matter. Focus on Jesus. And I think Peter would have had more fun in the water if he kept his eyes on Jesus. But no. Look all around me. Oh, no. The sky's black all over me. I don't know, man. It's always raining in my life. Get out of that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, there's a saying in a song that I remember. This is not my notes because I got to remember this. Sometimes God doesn't calm the storm. He calms the child in the storm. I beat you, Rebecca. Did you hear that? Sometimes he does not calm the storm, but he calms the child in the storm. And the last one is this. Every single one that we accomplish, every single if that we accomplish, you will never, ever be the same. You don't go to the is on your own power. Through God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's power do we move to the next level. And when you encounter Christ, you encounter God, experiencing God, you will never, ever be the same. Never. 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 Where are you? What is the if that you need to reach for the is this morning? What's a key to this? Simple. To be saved. That's the first step, is to be saved. The second step, if you are saved, but we have so much sin in our life, is to get rid of the sin that blinds us, that weighs us down. And the other thing is to never, ever give up. Never give up. But that first part is so important. We need to be saved in order to understand what this if is, but the next part is to reach that is. Look at this passage of Scripture. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. It's out of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We didn't plan this, did we? That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. We're going to have a moment of invitation for you. And this morning, wherever you are, if there's an if in your life that you need God's power to take you to that is, or maybe some clarification within what that if is, well, this morning we're going to offer the altars open. Brother Mike's going to be up here. And we're going to have that moment of invitation where God's probably inviting you to join him and go to that is that he has for you in your life. Maybe you've never trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior. That's where it starts. You're thinking, what if I trust him? Trust him. Invite him into your heart. And there's your first is. That's your first step. And then watch what happens after that. If you're looking for a church, this is an ising church. Okay? You come in here as an if, we'll change it. You're an is. Because that's what this church is all about. Whatever your decision is this morning, let's go from if to is. Let's get out of the boat and walk on water. It takes that first step. And when you come up here with an if and you go back to your seat, you're going to be smiling because you experience the is that God has for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for Peter and for what he demonstrated for us. And some will look at Peter and say that he failed because he sunk. But Father, for me, he was victorious because he got out of the boat. And you raised him up. You were there the whole time. And you pulled him up. And thank you, Peter, for hollering out, "Lord, save me." Thank you for always saving us, no matter where we are or what we're doing. So, Father, at this time, I pray that you touch our hearts and that we'll make a decision, whether it's trusting you, personal Lord and Savior, getting rid of sin, joining the church, or just coming forth and saying, "Father, what's the next is in my life? I'm ready." So, Father, this time is yours. And I pray that your Spirit will move among us and change us from the inside out. Father, we need you. Lord, we need you. In your name we pray. Amen.